I've been sharing with you the last few weeks from the book of John. I'm going to continue that today in John chapter 15. But before we start, I want to read a parable from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, and it begins in verse 33. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard. And he put a fence around it, and he dug a wine press in it. He built a tower, and then he leased it out to tenants, and he went to another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit." I mean, he owned it. It's his fruit. And so he's sending his servants to go to the vineyard and gather his fruit. Well, the tenants took the servants, and they beat one, and they killed another, and they stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. So finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "Well, they'll respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And so they took him and threw him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. And when therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And they said to him, "Well, he will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruit in their season." And Jesus said to them, "Have you ever read in the scripture the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you," and this is the whole point of the parable, "the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruit." So today we're going to talk about fruitfulness in the kingdom of God, bearing fruit. Obviously, this parable is talking about the kingdom of God. God is the one, the Father is the one who owns the vineyard. And how many of you know, if you own a vineyard or you own a farmer's field, you expect at the end of a season to go and get some fruit out of there, right? I mean, that's a realistic expectation. And so this Father, the Father God, has an expectation that out of this vineyard that he's planted, there would be fruit. And so he would send the servants out. And this is speaking about in the Old Testament how the Lord would send out the prophets and send out those messengers to the people of Israel looking for fruit. Looking for fruit. And they never brought it forth, never produced. And then eventually he said, "I'll send my son and see what happens there." Well, that's Jesus. Jesus came and they killed him. And so the Lord said he would actually put those wretches to a miserable death, but then he would take the kingdom, take it away from those people, and give it to those who would produce its fruit. And so now we have the kingdom of God being carried out through another group of people. No longer Israel per se. He took it from them and he said, "I want to give it to you." So the question I want you to look at this morning is, how can I bear fruit? He's looking for it. He deserves it and wants it from each one of our lives. So with that, I want to pray and we'll look into the Word of God this morning. Father, I pray that we could look at these scriptures. They're simple in a certain way, but complex in another. They're simple truths that you gave us to show us what your expectation is. You desire fruit from us all, Lord. And I pray that we would be faithful in that task. Help me this morning to share your word in a way that would challenge each one of us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. When we speak about fruit, I want to talk to you first about what I think the fruit is talking about. Because there's always a question. Is he talking about the fruit of the Spirit? Is he talking about fruit, personal growth in our life? Or is he talking about salvation of souls? And I think he's talking about all of the above, in my opinion. And so in Colossians 1, verse 3, we thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit. So the gospel bears fruit. That fruit is actually the salvation of souls. The Bible tells us when the gospel goes forth, it is God's way. The Bible says in the gospel is the power of God for salvation. When we speak the gospel in the world today, it falls upon the ears of people and some respond. And that's part of the fruit that Jesus is looking for. Remember, I was sharing with you John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 are like John's Great Commission. It's the last words of Jesus before he goes to heaven. He's actually the last evening. He's at the Last Supper, and he has this long discussion with him about a lot of things, and one of them is about this message of fruitfulness. I'm looking for fruit. And so I'm going to be going away, and I'm leaving this work unto you. I want to see fruit. And so those 11 men who were with him at the end carried out that task of going forward, sharing the gospel, and seeing people saved in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world until it came down to us today. And you know that Jesus is still looking for this kind of fruit. How many of you think that Jesus is satisfied with how many people are currently saved in the world? I mean, there's another parable that talks about wanting his banquet to be filled. He keeps sending them out. Go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. I want my table to be full. I want my house to be full. Jesus isn't satisfied yet. He's still looking for fruit. So some of the fruit I believe he's speaking of is the salvation of people. So he says, "This since the day you heard it, you understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing unto him, and bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And so here we see another element of fruit, another aspect of fruit. Can you see what it's talking about here? That's talking about our own personal life, our own personal growth, our own relationship with Jesus and how we grow and mature. So Jesus is looking for fruit. And when you think about it, when we read John 15 here today, when you hear the word fruit, think of it in both of these terms. He's looking for fruit in terms of people becoming Christians, salvation, new souls brought into the kingdom. But he's also looking for fruit in that he's wanting us to grow and mature in him. The fruit of the Spirit, that it would grow in our lives and become more abundant. So let's go back to John 15 and see what he had to say about fruit. John 15, verse 1. He says there, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away." You know, if you're a vine dresser, you own vineyards, you go into your crop, and if you see branches that have no fruit, you prune them. You take them away, because they're really taking up the energy of the vine and there's no productivity. So there's this pruning process that the Father does. The Father is the vine dresser. Jesus is the vine. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away," or he prunes it. "And then every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, You know, again, if you understand things about farming or growing vineyards, you know that there is a process of pruning that actually makes the fruit more productive. So I guess what I would say to us is think of it this way. You're going to get the pruning shears one way or the other. So why not be productive? Because on one hand, if you're not, you're just basically taken away. If you are, the pruning is to make us more fruitful. But just like the parable we read a little bit ago, this one who owns the vineyard is looking for fruit. There's an expectation that if you're in my kingdom and my spirit's dwelling within you and my word is within you, I'm expecting fruitfulness to come out of our lives, both in terms of the salvation of souls as well as personal growth and maturity. So every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it can bear more fruit. Already you are clean. And this word clean is really closely related to the word prune in the Greek language. You are already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Think about this for a minute. Jesus is kind of giving us a clue here about how this pruning process takes place in our life. And it's really centered around his word. God's word has a way of pruning us. You know, we heard an exhortation here this morning about the need for obedience, about responding to the Lord's word to us, his direction to us. When we do that, we're essentially being pruned. We're letting the Lord prune an area of our life that would become more fruitful. But it's his word, the word that I have spoken to you, is what actually acts as this cleaning or pruning process in your life. It's why it's so important for us to be faithful in the word of God. I mean, to open up your Bible and read it and have those quiet times with the Lord and say, Lord, as I spend time in your word, speak to me. Show me what you want. Teach me how to be obedient to you. And you will be surprised if you'll just take a few minutes in your day and open up the word of God and let the Lord speak to you. This pruning process will just begin to happen. He'll point out things in a loving way. But he's doing it because he wants to be a blessing to you. He's saying, you know what, I see a little bit of fruit here. Let me prune some things and I'll see a lot more. I see a little over here, I'm going to prune some things. Don't be afraid of the pruning shears of the Lord, unless there's no fruit. But if there's fruit coming forward in your life, let the Lord continue to prune you. Don't become satisfied with where you are in your walk with the Lord. They'll say, well, I'm a much better person than I was when I was saved. Well, I hope that's true. But you know, Jesus wants us to be even much better than that. We are growing into the measure and the stature and the fullness of Christ. How many have reached that? So there's more pruning, more fruitfulness. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself. If you take a branch off the vine, set it by itself, it can produce nothing. Jesus is trying to help us see that it is our relationship with him, abiding, continuing, living in him, is the only thing that causes fruit to come. There has to be the life of the vine. He said, I am the true vine, and the life or the sap that flows up through that vine has to come into the branch, or nothing will be produced. We cannot produce anything without being related strongly to Jesus Christ. And so he says, abide in me. This word means to continue, to live, to stay, to be connected. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. And neither can you unless you abide in me. And so if you find in your own life not much fruit, then maybe you need to think about, am I really abiding in Jesus? Is my branch really connected here? Is the life of Christ really flowing through my life? I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Who is it that bears much fruit? The one who abides in Jesus. So it's a simple solution, isn't it? But for whatever reason, it becomes so difficult for us to do this. I would bet if I was to go through and interview every person in this room here, I would find many people struggle with spending time with Him. We just let everything else fill our life. And they're not unimportant things, for sure. But it's almost like the Lord gets bumped. And He keeps getting bumped out of the way. And we wonder, why isn't my life more fruitful? Why isn't there more fruit? Both in terms of people whose lives are being touched for the gospel, as well as my own personal growth and fruitfulness. Well, Jesus tells us the answer here. If you abide in me, you're going to bear much fruit. That's the one. The one who abides in me. And then he made this statement, apart from me, you can do nothing. How many of you believe that? We really can't do anything apart from Jesus. You know, no matter what we try to accomplish in His kingdom, you know, we all have gifts and talents and abilities, and we're doing our work and our labor in the Lord, but apart from Him, we really can't do anything. You know, we've just got to realize that time spent with Jesus, abiding in Him, makes us more fruitful. We think, I don't have enough time to spend with Jesus because I'm trying to be fruitful. And He says, no, if you spend time with me, then you will be fruitful. It's almost like we got to think about the kingdom of God the way the kingdom of God really works. It is spending that time with Jesus that brings the productivity. So apart from me, you can do nothing. I would just encourage all of us, no matter what you're doing, if you're laboring in God's kingdom, if you're involved in some ministry or somehow carrying the good news of Jesus Christ, especially spend time with Jesus, because that's where fruitfulness occurs. So how do we abide? That's a funny word. It's not a word that we typically use. How do you abide in Christ? And He gives us two things here in John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. I think part of abiding in Him is His word abiding in us. It's like this exchange. You abide in me, let my word abide in you. You know, part of the time when you spend in the presence of the Lord should be to open up His word. And don't just read it to check off a checkbox that, oh, I read my two chapters today. Open it up and say, Lord, speak to me from your word today. I'm opening your word. I want you to have a place in my heart. I want your word to abide in my heart. And so Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that's the exchange. Spending time with him and letting his word come here. Remember, we read earlier, you are clean because of the word that I've spoken unto you. The fruitfulness in our lives will come. I mean, it's amazing how it happens. I mean, you'll be sitting here, I'm sure you've experienced this before. You'll be sitting here and you'll be reading through the Bible. All of a sudden, something from that page just sort of jumps off the page at you. It's almost like the Holy Spirit takes it. He says, hey, focus here. Look at this. He drills it into your heart and you begin to think about it and meditate upon it. That's really likely something that God is trying to get through to you that day. It may be an area of obedience, like was said earlier today, but God speaks to us through His Word. It's not just a lifeless book. It is the living Word of God. And as we spend time living, you know, abiding in Jesus and letting His Word live here, then this abiding takes place. Then He says, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. And remember, don't take that scripture out of context there. You know what I mean? Don't talk about the last half unless you talk about the first half. Don't walk around saying, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. No, you got to start first with, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask what you wish. Because as I said last week, When we have this abiding relationship with Jesus and His Word, the focus of our prayer changes. It begins to be aligned with Him, with His will, with His heart. And the Bible tells us whenever we pray anything according to God's will, we know He hears us and we have whatever we wanted from him. And so you'll find, I believe, that as you spend time abiding in Christ and letting his word abide in you, the nature of your prayer life will change. It'll morph. What do you think Jesus prayed about? Think about this. What are the things that Jesus prayed about? Ask whatever you wish, it will be done. And in verse 8, look what it says here. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciple. What is a disciple? Well, a disciple is defined really by Jesus in Matthew 28. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded to you. So a disciple is a person who has acknowledged Jesus, has been baptized, and they are now living a life of obedience. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded. You can take that one word and make that a definition of a disciple. It's somebody who's walking in obedience to Jesus. Now, I know we don't do that perfectly, but that's where we're headed. And that's why we open up the Word of God and we see something in there and we say, yes, Lord, I want to respond in obedience. And what he says here, when you bear fruit, God is glorified. The Father is glorified. Somehow, he looks down upon your life and says, oh, I love to see this fruit in your life. It actually magnifies him and glorifies him. Fruit is being produced. You know why? Because it is that's proving that we are truly a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's easy to say I'm a disciple of Jesus, but we can actually prove that we're a disciple of Jesus. And the Father looks down. I mean, the whole reason why Jesus came was to save the world. And our commission as a church is to go and make disciples. And so when somebody actually becomes a disciple, the Father is glorified. And we prove that we're followers of Jesus. You know, if somebody asked you today, are you a follower of Jesus? What would you tell them? And what if they said, what's your proof? What's the proof? Well, the proof he points to is his word abiding in us, proving ourselves to be his disciple, bearing fruit, that our lives are actually productive in his kingdom. I would love to prove myself to be a disciple. Another way we abide, so the first way we talked about was his words abiding in you. Here's the other way, John 15:9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. I'll tell you what, I don't know that I've really ever grasped the fullness of his love for us. The Bible talks about it being this thing that's unmeasurable in a way, so wide, so high, so deep. But he's saying here that the love the Father has toward Jesus, Jesus says, I have that same love for you. And then he says, abide in my love. Live there. Stay there. Camp out there. Let it become part of who you are. Abide in my love. And then verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. You know, again, we heard this word today about obedience. How do you know if you love the Lord? It's by this obedient heart. This abiding in Christ is this idea that I'm coming to Jesus, I'm spending time with him, I'm letting his word live in me, and I'm responding to it in obedience. This is what causes fruitfulness. This is what abiding is all about. It's having this relationship with our Lord, that we love him, he loves us, we're spending time with him, we're letting his word impact our lives, and we're responding in obedience. That's what abiding is all about. That's what brings fruitfulness to your life. Jesus said, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. And then finally, John 15, verse 16. Look what Jesus said here. You did not choose me. I chose you. That's good to know, isn't it? I chose you. Jesus looked down and said, I want you. But he says, I chose you and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. I love that scripture. It gives me a lot of hope for what's happening in my life, that Jesus chose me and appointed me for a purpose. Kirk, I want you to be fruitful. I want to see fruit in your life. Just like he was looking for fruit out of that vine that he bought. The vine, what's that called there? Vineyard. He was looking for fruit. He's looking for fruit in my life. I glorify him when I bring forth fruit. So I'm saying, Lord Jesus, help me to abide in you. Let my heart be yielded to your word. Let me live in you. Let your love live in me. I want to see fruit come forward so I can prove that I'm your disciple. I want you to be glorified. And Jesus is saying to us, Kirk or whoever, I have chosen you and appointed you that you would bring forth fruit and that your fruit should abide. And once again, he brings this aspect of prayer so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You know, twice in this portion of scripture, he talks about prayer, about how ask what you will and the Father will give it. But it's all because somehow our hearts are aligned to him, abiding in him, his word having a place in our heart. So the last scripture I'll share is found in verse 26. When the helper comes, you know, Jesus is leaving. So think about this from a great commission standpoint. He's telling these guys, look, I'm going away, but I'm looking for fruit. I want to see the fruit of my kingdom. I want to see it in your life. I want to see this gospel taken throughout the world. I want to see many people come to faith in Jesus. And so he's talking about this great commission, and then he closes up this chapter talking about the help that will be ours through his Holy Spirit. And I look at verse 26. When the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you also will bear witness. So we have a helper, the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of truth. He's called the helper. He's going to come and be with us in this task. He's going to be the one who teaches us. He's going to be the one who guides us. He's the one who's going to stay with us forever. He's called our helper. And Jesus said when he comes, he's going to bear witness about me. I'm glad the Holy Spirit is out there bearing witness. The Bible says he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. But Jesus also said, you also will bear witness. He didn't send the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit solely would be the witness. He said, I'm sending him to be your helper. He will bear witness as you will. And so Jesus is calling us to bear witness of him, of his work, of his resurrection, of his salvation. That's part of the fruitfulness he's looking for in our lives. I know that probably in this room there's people who are very afraid to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're nervous about it. We want to help you overcome that. I mean, pray for you that God would help you be fruitful, to lead people to Jesus. We provide training. We can help you along those lines, but it's something that God has called each one of us to. He's given you his Holy Spirit to help you in this regard. So if you ever need help, or you feel like, you know, I want to reach out to some people, I just don't know how to do it, come and talk to us. I mean, we will help you do it. It would be great if you could say to the Lord, Lord, this year, give me fruit. Give me the fruit of souls this year. Maybe one person I can lead to Jesus. Why can't we pray something like that? Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a child in your family. Maybe it's somebody you work with, somebody at school. But to say, Lord, you know what? This is a fruit that I've never, ever produced. Let me produce it this year. But beyond that, why not look to spend time with Jesus in his word? Let his word have place in your heart and learn to listen. Learn to listen. Let him speak to you. Let him convict you. Let him speak about things he wants you to do, areas of obedience. And as we have that yielded heart, I feel like you will find great fruitfulness comes forward in your life. And you glorify God and prove yourself to truly be his disciple. So we're going to close in prayer. I'd like to have a few musicians come up and play a song here. We're going to close. I'll get you to stand with me. Here's a question. Do you think that Jesus and the Father are justified in wanting fruit? Right. I mean, there's no question that he should want fruit. He's planted a vineyard and he wants fruit. I would just like us, as we close in prayer today, and we'll sing a song or something here, but I would like you just to evaluate the fruitfulness of your life. And again, it's not to be condemning. It is to look to change. If there's already fruitfulness, then say, Lord, continue to prove me. Continue to prune my life so I can be more fruitful. If you find that there's no fruitfulness in your life, then say, Lord, this is what I want. I want to begin to abide in you. I want to learn what it's like to spend time with you, letting your word live in me, letting your love live in me, so that this fruit can be produced in my life. You know, you might say, you know, there was a day in my life when I used to love people more, but I've just become cynical and I'm having a hard time loving people. Well, maybe you need some pruning. Maybe there's something more Jesus wants to do in your life. I used to be more patient, but I find myself becoming less patient. The older I get, the less patient I am, or whatever, you know, whatever reason. But we want to be fruitful all of our lives, proving ourselves to be true disciples of Jesus.